Well, good morning. Good morning. And welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian Church, where we have come to worship the triune God together in spirit and in truth. It is good to be with you this morning. Just a few announcements in our bulletin before we begin our time of worship. This month of June is nomination month, officer nomination month. So please consider if you are going to nominate a member of the church. If you are a member, and if you have any questions, you can contact Pastor Keene. And there is a green sheet in your bulletin about that as well. Also, we have our congregational prayer meeting next week at the 9:30 a.m. Sunday school slot for our Acts 2 summer series. The week after that is the Ask an Elder panel, so that will be a good time. Whatever Bible questions or church questions you have, church ministry questions or theological questions, you can write in and submit those prior, and those will be answered, as long as they are appropriate, of course. There's a service project the week after that for Brother Jimbo's Christ Satisfies ministry, so keep that in mind. That's in your bulletin as well, and there's a list of needs there that you can look at. So please consider being there and helping out with that. But now as we begin our time of service, please silence your electronic devices as to not disrupt the service. Let us begin as we stand for our call to worship from Psalm 9. Hear the word of the Lord. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Sing praises to the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Amen. Now let's grab our hymnals together and sing hymn 164. Father God in heaven, you are our Father, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change, and from whom proceeds every good and perfect gift. And so therefore we ask you, Lord, to grant us the ability to praise you the way that you want to be praised. For you, Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. You are God gracious and full of compassion, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth, for your mercy endures forever. This is your day, Lord, the heavenly ordinance of rest, the open door of worship, the record of Jesus' resurrection, the seal of the Sabbath to come, the day when saints on earth and the saints in heaven unite in endless song. So fill up our hearts with these truths of triumph, these songs of hope, that we would be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus our Lord and established in the faith. And so praise be to you, O God triune. We pray in the name of Christ, and it is in his name that we have come here to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Amen and amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 30, 18 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwelling places. And the city will be rebuilt on its ruin, and the palace will stand on its rightful place. From them will proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who celebrate. And I will multiply them, and they will not be diminished. I will also honor them, and they will not be insignificant. Their children also will be as formerly, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all their oppressors. Their leader shall be one of them, and their ruler shall come forth from their midst. And I will bring him near, and he shall approach me. For who would dare to risk his life to approach me? Declares the Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord. Now, as we enter a time of confession, let's bow our heads before the Lord. Father in heaven, we know that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed this past week. So we come to you humbly, seeking mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sins as you have told us to, promising forgiveness. So we do so now, first privately and then corporately together. Now corporately together, Jesus, for your name's sake, do that which your name proclaims. Jesus, pardon the pride that pains you, and look upon the unhappy one that calls upon your tender name, name of comfort, name of delight, and to sinners, name of blessed hope. For what does your name mean, Jesus, but Savior? Therefore, for your name's sake, be to me, Jesus, a merciful Savior. Amen. Now hear our assurance of pardon. That reminds all of us that for those who have truly repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Our second scripture lesson comes to us from Romans chapter 5. This is the sermon text this morning. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates in his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Would you join me in a time of prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we come before you with reverence and awe as we acknowledge that you are the one true and living and great God, the God that formed the planets and the blazing sun, the God that created all the stars and knows each one of them by name, the God who created the moon so that it distinguishes certain times and seasons of the year. Lord, too often we do not recognize your greatness and your glory. But I pray this morning in some small way that we may give you your due, and that in turn you would meet every one of us at the point of our need as you define it. Father, be with those this morning who are in distress. I think of the lonely. I think of those who are depressed, those who are anxious about the coming week or the coming weeks ahead of them. That, Father, you would bring the peace of Christ to bear upon their lives. Lord, indeed, give us as Christian citizens a great sense of peace as we live in the midst of our culture, a culture that is dying, a culture so much in need of a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church body to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ in a winsome manner with those we come in contact with at work or the places where we recreate. We pray that you would use us. Father, we pray that we would get a bigger picture of your sovereign control over the universe and over this world. And that, Lord, we would not be smug, that we would not panic, but that we would be quiet and still before you. And subsequently, that you would remind us that you're working out all things and summing them up in Christ. And we can rejoice in these realities. Lord, I pray for our church family that you would develop us, that you would extend our witness. We pray especially for our Spanish ministries and our teaching English as a second language ministry. We ask, Lord, that you would multiply them in the future, in the fall, that you would use them for your glory. We pray, Lord, for the Vacation Bible School, and I ask that you would give Nick and Lewis wisdom beyond their years as they seek to reach out to the immediate community. So many children, Lord, to be reached. We pray that you would bless these efforts. Also pray, Lord, for our college students as they take somewhat of a break over the summer months, that you would refresh them and give them grace and mercy and strengthen them for the fall. Father, we pray for family members of our church as we do week by week. I lift up the Pilecki family this morning, Christopher and Tara and Joshua and Joel. Lord, I pray that you would be with the family as they travel. We ask that you would return them home to us safely. We pray for the family in light of the loss of Tara's grandmother last week. Lord, comfort their hearts. Give them grace and mercy. And we pray that you would refresh their lives and, again, bring them home safely to us. We also pray for the Pothoven family. We pray for Steve and Tammy. We pray for Cameron. We pray for Shannon and Bryson. Lord, bless this family unit. Thank you for Steve and Tammy and their contribution for so many years to this church. Father, thank you for Cameron, who was able to get into a doctoral program in Mississippi. We ask, Lord, that you would bless his life and bless his efforts in study. We pray, Lord, for Bryson, and we pray for Shannon, and we thank you for their enthusiasm for Christ. Lord, we thank you for their participation in the college and career Bible study. We ask, Lord, that you would enrich their lives and continue to help them to make a stand for Christ, as lonely as that might be, in a culture that does not want or sometimes understand who they are or what they stand for. Father, I pray for the family of Ron Quick Jr. as he passed away this past week. Lord, I pray that you would comfort the hearts, especially of Ron and Marilyn Quick Sr., that, Lord, you would be with them and bless their lives, and, Lord, give them the comfort that only you can give this day. We continue to pray for Michelle Lambers and her pregnancy. We pray for Ed Sellers, Lord, and ask that you continue to heal his body. And we thank you that he is present with us this morning. Lord, continue to sustain Jenny Brimmer and Hardy Knowlton and John Waugh and Becky Yu. And we pray also for Lenore Ball and Judy Smith and Marcia Craig and their health concerns. Father, pour out your kindness upon these saints. And may we love them as you have loved us and pray for them regularly. We also pray, Lord, for those who are confined. We think of Aileen Cawley and Lee Zambon. We ask, Lord, that you would be with these two ladies this morning to thank you for their faith and life. Bless them. Father, we also pray for our missionaries. We thank you for Don Vanderplug and his wife, Leah. We pray for the Davalas. We pray for the Haws. We pray for the Mondans. Lord, we thank you that Aldo and his wife could be present with us this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless their lives and enrich them as they minister on the campus of USF. Father, we pray also for SIE ATN in Southwest Florida Presbytery, and we pray for Jimbo and Ann Mullen in Christ Satisfies Ministries, that, Lord, you would extend the witness of all of these, that you would protect these families, protect the children in the families, and, Lord, pour out your Spirit on these, your servants. We pray that your blessing would be upon the fruit of their ministry. Now, Lord, I pray that you would continue with us in this worship hour. I pray, Lord, as we go through the elements of the service and we approach your table, that, Lord, we would enjoy sweet and fulfilling fellowship and communion with you. And so, Lord, bring it to pass. We look to you by faith for all that you will do in our church corporately and in our lives individually throughout this worship experience this morning. And we make our prayer in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray many years ago, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The word of the Lord. Now let's stand together and grab our hymnals and sing hymn 533. Let's sing. Thank you.
Father, as we give to you our tithes and offerings now, I pray that you would accept them as pleasing in your sight, using them as you see fit for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's stand for the doxology. Seated. And as you take your seat, you can open with me to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We've been in a series of messages through the letter of Romans, and we find ourselves this morning in chapter 5 as we finish up verses 6 through 11. Last week, I delivered a message on verses 1 through 5 about the benefits of our redemption. And I wanted to save these final verses, verses 6 through 11 of that first half of the chapter, for this morning, particularly because we're having communion together. Now, you remember last week we ended with verse 5, which states, "The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." One of the benefits of our redemption in Christ is the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit, according to Paul, communicates and mediates the presence of Christ in general, and particularly the love of Christ. And so what I believe Paul does in verses 6 through 11 is he goes on to explore this love. In fact, we might put it this way. Paul is going to unfold for us, I believe, the various dimensions of God's love for us in these latter verses in the first half of Romans chapter 5. So I'd like to spend a few moments this morning looking at these marvelous verses and meditating on the dimensions of God's love for us before we come to the Lord's table. I'd like to mention four things. Number one, the depth of God's love for us in verses 6 through 8. Number 2, the length of God's love for us in verse 9. Number 3, the breadth of God's love for us in verse 10. And number 4, the height of God's love for us in verse 11. But before we dig in to study God's word, let's pray and ask his blessing upon us. Lord, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Father, keep the enemy from stealing the precious seed that might be planted in the hearts and lives of these, your children today. And bless us all, Lord, at the end of the service, that we may say truly, what a great God. Lord, bless us to that end now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want you to notice the depth of God's love. And I believe we see that in verses 6 through 8, the depth of God's love. Or I might put it this way, the greatness of the lover and the unworthiness of the loved one. How do we measure the greatness of God, the depth of God's love? By the greatness of the lover and the unworthiness of the loved one. Paul describes us in verse 6 as helpless. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. In fact, the words "at just the right time" mean at the very time when we were still powerless, when we were still helpless. At that point, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to make the first step back toward him. He intervened in an act of pure grace to provide a way for us to come back. And so Christ died for the ungodly. Now look at verse 7. Paul outlines how God's love goes far beyond human calculation. He says in verse 7, "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die." People who are level-headed and sensible appreciate and applaud a righteous man, generally speaking. But they would hardly die for such a man. As much as we might admire somebody, as much as we might follow somebody, scarcely say that we would die for them. And then Paul goes down a notch from the righteous man to the good man, and he makes it clear once again that even this man lacks an advocate who would die for him. And so after this gradation of people that ordinarily no one would die for, look at verse 8. After providing that human love is not prepared to die for a righteous man or even a good man, Paul shocks us with this next verse. Verse 8, "But God demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is the magnitude, the depth of God's love for us. We were not righteous and are not righteous in and of ourselves. We were not good and we are not good still in and of ourselves. We are sinners. And yet this is the group that the Lord Jesus came to save. We read it in Luke chapter 5, verses 29 through 32, our gospel reading this morning, as they criticized Jesus for eating with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus said, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came to save the weak, the humble, the sick. He came to save those who are ungodly. He came to save those who were helpless in their sins. And brothers and sisters, that's the first thing we have to acknowledge if we're going to be Christians, that we are helpless and that Christ comes to us right in the midst of our need. I can't help but think about Cinderella. You know, our kids, and they're growing up, they always love various movies. Back in that time, Walt Disney movies of Cinderella. My oldest daughter, that was her favorite. So I don't know how many times I watched Cinderella. It seemed like millions of times. It's a timeless classic that touches our emotions deeply. Why is that? Because of the greatness of the prince and the lowly, unworthy object of his affections. You know the story. Young Cinderella lives in a house with her mean stepmother and her, less than comely, stepsisters. And they have a lot to think about themselves. They have a very high opinion of themselves. And all three of them do their very best to keep Cinderella out of the light of day. When she finally gets the opportunity to go to the ball, they engineer it so that she can't go. And so she is far, far away from the prince. But as fortune would have it, she is unable to go. And the prince falls in love with her. And then he goes to great lengths all the way through the city, taking that slipper that fell off to find the object of his affections. She's so far away from him and so low in terms of status, but the prince comes anyway, and he takes her to himself. Reminds me of the words in the hymn, "From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died." That's what the Lord Jesus did. You want to know the depth of God's love? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. Now, a second dimension is the length of God's love. Look carefully at verse 9 with me. Paul says much more. In fact, he says it again in verse 10. "Much more then, having now been justified by our blood, by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." We might put it this way: how far the lover will go to reach the loved one. It goes beyond our being simply justified in his sight. Paul makes it clear in this verse that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him. Now, this is important because it underscores the necessity of being justified before a holy God. The wrath of God is a very unpopular doctrine in and amongst the world. And sadly, in many circles of Christians these days, it's just as unpopular. And that's a pity. Not that we need to focus all the time on the wrath of God, but like any other theme in Scripture, we need to give it due diligence. The reality of God's wrath is firmly grounded throughout sacred Scripture. And you see, to ignore God's wrath is to make light of the gravity of sin. To ignore God's wrath is to cheapen the gospel message. To ignore God's wrath is to posture God's love for us as nothing but sentimental and superficial. This is the very thing that Satan sought to get Jesus to do, namely to avoid the cross and thus the wrath of God. But Jesus would not do it. He said on one occasion, "The cup that the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" And thankfully for us, Christ drank the full cup of God's wrath when he died on the cross. In fact, the Bible makes it clear he drank it down to its dregs. Christ was willing to die for us as our substitute. But his love went far beyond the visible act of crucifixion. It was the invisible realm where he drank the cup of the Father's wrath for your sins and mine. And all the Father's punishment was poured out for our sins. He went the full measure to redeem us from our sins. And now we are no longer the target for God's wrath and fury, which will be poured out against all those who reject such a great salvation. See, this is the whole point of Christ becoming incarnate. He came as a substitute for us. He died in our place. And he didn't just die for sentimental reasons. When he died, he drank the cup of the Father's wrath. There's a beautiful picture somewhat of this in Jeremiah 30, our Old Testament reading this morning. If you look at verses 21 and 22, after the Lord gives this beautiful picture of redemption from exile, of bringing God's people back from exile, look what he says in 21 and 22. "Their leader shall be one of them, and their ruler shall come forth from their midst, and I will bring him near, and he shall approach me. For who would dare to risk his life to approach me? declares the Lord. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Who would dare to approach me? Well, the Lord Jesus did, on your behalf and mine. He came before the Father as our substitute. And he died on the Roman cross, but as he died, he drank the full cup of God's wrath against your sins and mine, so that you are no longer the target of God's wrath. You're actually an object of his love and grace. That is the length of God's love. Now look at the third thing, the breadth of God's love in verse 10. Paul goes on in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I love this statement because it reminds me of the breadth, or we might say the fullness, of God's love for me and all sinners who embrace his Son, Jesus Christ. What do you mean, John? Well, Christ not only died in our place and drank the cup of the Father's wrath, but he also rose again from the dead, and he lives forever with what the writer of Hebrews calls an indestructible life. Let those words sink in. Here, Paul makes it clear that Christ has not only saved us by his death, he is saving us by his life, his resurrected life. Why is that? Because he lives inside of every believer. He lives in you if you know and love Christ. He lives in me. And the Bible says this over and over and over again. Why? Because it's so hard for us in this realm to accept this spiritual reality by faith, that Christ actually lives in me by his Spirit. Listen to Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, says Paul, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 4:19, he says, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Romans 8:10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Colossians 1:27, the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Why? Because Christ is in him. The old things have passed away. The new things have come. That's the breadth of God's love. He doesn't just save us out of hell and take us to heaven. He lives inside of us. That is salvation to the uttermost. And when we reckon ourselves dead and we believe this truth, that the indestructible life of Christ lives in us, now we find spiritual strength and power to live the Christian life. Well, that is the length and the depth and the height, the breadth of God's love. Finally, the height of God's love. Look at verse 11. I think sometimes you can mull over some things that are so great, you just get tired. I think that's where Paul is at. He lives in verse 11, and not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You know, last week we studied verses 1 through 5. We saw Paul rejoicing, and that's another word for exulting or boasting in a number of things throughout verses 1 through 5. Last week we saw Paul rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And he says, we rejoice in our tribulations. Now Paul has reached the ceiling of his rejoicing and boasting, so he concludes by simply saying, we exult or we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you reach the height of God's love for you when you go beyond all the things that he has given you and all the things that he has done for you, and you simply pause and rejoice in him. Plus nothing. And that's where Paul is at. And that's where we should be. Maybe you feel unloved this morning. Perhaps you feel like God has abandoned you or left you. Maybe you're confused, and you've never really noticed the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love for you. But it is real, and it is present. And the Lord God Almighty asks us to embrace this great love by faith. And this is why Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. I pray that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It's like the tune or the verse of the hymn, Amazing Love, How Can It Be? That thou mightst, God, shouldst die for me. I have a friend who has another very good friend who wanted to communicate his love to this brother. And one day, the friend in question opened the front door, and there was a big red bucket sitting on the front porch. And it didn't have anything in it, but it had a little sign on the front of it. And he said to his friend, "This is a big bucket of love." He picked it up, and he looked on the bottom, and he says, "Now, please return the bucket when you're finished with all the love inside." And he chuckled. But he realized that it wasn't a matter of the contents of the bucket. It was a matter of the one who gave that bucket to him. The love was expressed. And folks, when we start thinking or stop thinking about all the little goodies and the things that God gives to us and his many, many kindnesses through the day, and we take a look at the big thing, himself, that he has given himself to his wayward children, that's the height of God's love for us. May we experience that love afresh and anew as we commune with our Lord this morning. And if you have never experienced this kind of love, I want to invite you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life and trust him and watch him come into your life and begin to change you. Mold you into his image. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your wonderful, infallible, inerrant word. Father, we thank you that you continue to speak in this day and time through your word as we read it and as we meditate on it, and as your Holy Spirit moves within our hearts and our minds and lives, as you communicate your steadfast, unfathomable love. Lord, you challenge us to know the love of Christ, which passes all comprehension. And Lord, we pray that we'd spend the rest of our lives trying to comprehend the incomprehensible. And in the meantime, that we would love each other as you have loved us. And I pray that there's one or two here this morning that need a fresh glimpse of your great love, that, Lord, you would bestow it and bring them to yourself. Do all these things and more, Lord, as we think about your great, great love for our lives. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals as we sing a hymn of preparation, appropriate hymn this morning. Jesus, Lover of My Soul. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 only as we stand together. Thank you. be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to Thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God. Therefore, with the angels and the archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Thy glorious name, evermore praising Thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of Thy glory. Glory be to Thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please be seated. Let me read the words of institution to you this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 17 through 20. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, said, Take this, and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup is poured out for you in the new covenant in my blood. The Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned in the message, lives inside of us. That kind of rich communion is a wonderful thing. And he demonstrated it visibly by leaving us this simple supper. So that every time we take the bread and every time we take the wine, we are reminded of the once for all sacrifice of Christ on Calvary for our sins, but also something that is perpetual, and that is our fellowship with Him. Eating and drinking with somebody is a very intimate practice, and the Lord Jesus invited all of those who name Him by name and trust in Him by faith to feast with Him and to feast on Him, for His body is true food, and His blood is true drink. I don't mean to suggest that these elements somehow mysteriously become the actual body and blood of Jesus. That's not the case. It is whenever we take by faith, though, these elements represent the very real presence of Jesus Christ. And so we do, in fact, eat and drink the Lord Jesus by faith. Having said that, I want to invite you to come to the Lord's table this morning. If you have made profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and you're a member in good standing of part of His body. It doesn't have to be Christ Central Church, but a part of His body where the gospel is preached, where the word of God is upheld, then you are welcome to this table. If you've never done those things, if you've never professed faith in Christ and joined a local church, this table is not for you. It's for the body of Christ, the visible body of Christ on earth. And I want to encourage you, if you're not a member, that you join either this church or another church and see me after the service, and I would be happy to help you do that. Because we want you to enjoy communion with us if you profess faith in Jesus. Our men will dismiss you row by row. That is our custom. You'll come forward and take the elements, the bread and the wine. Return to your seat and wait until everyone has been served, and then we will all partake together. And I remind you, the outer rings of the trays are wine, and the inner rings are grape juice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time, this sacred time, high and holy time, as we enjoy communion with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would take these common, ordinary elements of bread and wine and set them aside to extraordinary use. As you move in us and amongst us, we pray that you would solidify our faith in you, that you would confirm it, that you are the great God of the covenant. And you, Lord Jesus, have shed the blood of the covenant for all of our sins. Lord, may we eat and drink by faith and with joy. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, as I, ministering in his name, do before you. And he broke it and said, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Afterwards, he took the cup and he said, This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink you all of it. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it." Lord Jesus Christ, exalted in the heavenlies, we thank you that you have given your life for us and for our sins. And we also thank you that now your indestructible life lives in us. Help us, Lord, to submit to you. Help us and empower us to walk by faith this week. Help us to look forward to your return. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to love one another as you have loved us. Give us the grace to do these things and every other thing, Lord, that falls under obedience and submission to your name. Bless us to that end now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and we'll sing the final two verses of number 508 as we stand together. For joining us. Pray that you have a great week in our Lord Jesus Christ and walking with him by faith. And join us again next Sunday morning as we worship our Lord once again. Receive now the benediction of our Lord from the book of Hebrews. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.